Welcome this morning to New Life. Y'all stand with us. We're going to worship. Thank you, Lord. We want to jump in your Holy Spirit river this morning, Lord. You have brought me to the water.
What?
wash over me, wash over me.
Welcome to New Life Fellowship. Only a few of you are here. Welcome to New Life Fellowship. Yeah. All right. My name's Dane. I'm the pastor here. We're so glad that you are here worshiping the Lord with us. And those who are online, welcome as well. We've got a few announcements we want to share with you before we get right back into the worship. This Wednesday, we have our prayer service from 6:30 to 7:30. We want to encourage you to come out and join us for prayer. It's a time of interceding and getting close to God and praying for one another. So I encourage you to do that. This Thursday night is our last family fun night of the summer. And it's a time where we come together here from 6 to 8 o'clock. We have a barbecue. We have free hot dogs, free hamburgers, just cornhole toss. We have volleyball. We have all kinds of fun stuff. And so we encourage everyone who wants to come and join us Thursday night, 6 to 8 o'clock. Now, this is a big announcement, so I need everybody to pay attention, right? You online, my son, I know you're at home watching. Pay attention, Connor. So on September 4th, which is a Friday night, it's Labor Day weekend. It's entering in Labor Day weekend. We are having a Friday night service outdoors. We're going to be outside. In our lawn area out there, we're going to have music, we're going to have a sermon, it's going to be an awesome time. Everything is going to be fun. Bring a lawn chair, bring blanket, we're going to sit out and enjoy it and worship the Lord outside. Hopefully it's not going to rain, so pray for no rain. And so that means we're not going to have service on Sunday, September 6th. No service here. The Friday night is going to be in place of that. So if you come at 10 o'clock that night or that morning on Sunday, you're going to like go, where is everybody? The rapture happened. Did I miss it? No, we just didn't have service that Sunday. We had it on Friday night. So just mark your calendars for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great. Now I want to invite up my lovely wife, Pastor Bev. She's the kids pastor here. And so kids are going back to school, and it's going to be a crazy time. We don't know even how long they're going to be in school, but kids are going back to school. And so she's got an announcement like that for that, and we're going to pray for our kids.
Thank you. All right. We are going to pray for kids, not just kids, but youth
and anybody who's attending school. So if you're an adult and attending school, we want to pray for you as well. It's important to pray over our kids and our youth and those that are going back to school. It's an uncertain time. There are a lot of unknowns and a lot of underlining some stress. And so we just want to pray today for protection, for peace, for no fear, and for God's will to be done in this situation. So what I'm going to have you do is if you're sitting next to a student, I'm going to give you time to just pray with your kids quietly for the next few minutes. And then I'm going to go ahead and pray for everyone. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. If you want to, touch your child, you can put your hand on them.
If you want to stand and gather in a circle around your kids, I think that'll be really nice.
You could do that too if you'd like to stand.
Whatever you'd like to do that. So.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for your love. We're so grateful for your mercy, for your grace, for your protection. Father, I just pray right now for everyone who's returning back to school. I pray, Father, first of all, that your peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard all hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I pray against the spirit of fear. I pray, Father, that you would replace fear with joy and peace. And Father, we just pray for each student that's going back to school. I pray, Lord, a hand of protection upon them. Lord, keep them safe from everything, Lord, not just from sickness, but also from violence and from bullying and any negative thing that can come against them in a school setting. Father, I also pray for all the teachers, Lord, that are returning to school. Father, with all the stress of the unknown, Lord, we just pray for peace and guidance. Father, we're so thankful for you. Just go before us and make the pathway straight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So in honor of kids going back to school, we thought it was appropriate to have cookies and milk after service. So, and it's not just for students, it's for everyone. Because we're all students, right? We're all learning every day. So we have chocolate milk and vanilla milk, and so and cookies after. So afterwards, those online, go to your cupboard and grab some cookies. Go to your fridge, grab some milk, and join us with that. It'll be exciting. So, hey, just a reminder, we thank you for your giving to the Lord. We have giving boxes in the back. You can place your offering in that. We also want to say those who are first-time guests with us, there's a welcome card in the chair around you. If you could take a moment to fill that out and let us know who you are, and you could place that in the offering box as well, or give it to myself or one of our hosts at the door. So, hey, let's stand. We're going to enter in and worship the Lord again. We're going to sing two songs that are just simply amazing for your life. The first one is Waymaker. He's a waymaker in our lives. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, God can make a way. He can penetrate whatever it is that you're facing. And just, I want you to think about, as we sing these songs about Waymaker, the character of God. Promise Keeper. You know, what are the other ones? I can't remember off the top of my head. Huh? Healer. And so that's the next song we sing. He is my healer. And I know there might be some people here watching online that you need a healing touch from God. And so we're singing the song, and it says, I believe he is my healer. And so as we sing that, just lift your hands and say, yes, yes, Lord, I believe you're my healer. And I'm believing that you're going to heal me today. A lot of times we're like there's this dad who brings a son to Jesus because the disciples couldn't cast out this demon in this boy. Jesus says, anything is possible. All things are possible with God if you only believe. And the dad says something that we can all identify with. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Right? I think we're all there at one point or another. I believe, but help my unbelief. And so maybe that's when we're saying, I believe you're my healer. Lord, I believe, but help. There's some unbelief that's coming out, and I need to know you can heal. I need to feel, I need to experience the healing. So Waymaker, healer, let's enter in and see what God does in your life today.
You are he, moving in our midst. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. You are he, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. I believe you're he. You are he, moving in our midst. I worship you, Almighty God. I worship you. Are working in this place. I worship you. We welcome you.
The
I don't feel like you would give. You never stop, you never stop.
People in here are going through some stuff. I want you to imagine that thing, and then I want you to tell it that even when I don't see my God working, He's still working on this problem. He is faithful and true, mighty and just. We don't have to see it and we don't have to feel it, but we believe it and we know it. Amen. And then the rest will come. Amen. So you think about whatever it is right now, maybe several things, and know, seeing that even when I don't see it, you're working, Lord. And even when I don't feel it, I know, I believe you are working, God. We thank you in this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Come on, we're going to sing that again.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
He never stops.
You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. We declare that this morning we make miracle work upon the skin. Light in the darkness, my God, God is who you are.
We praise you in this place, God. We glorify you in this place. Lord, we declare that you're the way maker. No matter what you're going through this morning, Lord, we know that you already have a way planned out for us, God. We glorify you in this place. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. for the stripes you took for our healing. And it doesn't just mean physical healing. It's healing in any area. It's for all you need. He is our portion. So this morning, we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just declare, Lord, and receive our healing in that area. God, help our unbelief, Lord, even when we can't see it. God, we know you are faithful and true, God, mighty and just. Glorify you. You hold my every moment. Yes, you do. And you calm my raging sea. For our God. Amen. So I want you to declare that. I want to hear you. Here we go. Nothing. You hold my
Would you just pray that with me? Jesus, you are all I need. You're more than enough. You're more than enough. You are our peace. You are our strength. You are our hope. You are our healer. You are all that we need. Oh God, we thank you that you are a healer. We thank you that you move mightily in our hearts, in our lives, that nothing is impossible with you. That when we are feeling down, when we are feeling discouraged, when we feel like there's no hope whatsoever, nothing is impossible with you. And so, Lord, we just pray you say the word, that you do the move, that you do the mighty work that you can bring. Bring the peace, bring the strength, bring the hope, bring the healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, are you feeling good? Are you feeling God's presence? Yes. Man, would you turn? Well, most of you are seating. Just say hi to everybody around you. Be seated. We're excited. Pastor Michael's going to bring the word this morning.
Good morning, New Life Fellowship. Oh, come on, let's have a little better than that. Good morning, New Life Fellowship. I hope everybody is doing well today. It's good to look out and to see each one of you. And those of you that are watching us online this morning, we give a welcome to you as well. And we just say thanks for tuning in with us. It's been a good week. And everybody have a good week this past week? Yes, all right, good, good. Looking forward to even a better week this week? Yes, yeah, all right, good. We're excited to be here. An interesting thing happened yesterday. Scott and Marla Boyer, they were helping out with the Little Lambs school supply, and they were part of a team that helped hand out over 555 backpacks to children that are going to school this week. So I give it up to Scott and Marla here and just say thanks so much for your help there. We appreciate that so much. We have been involved this summer in the Power of One as we have been going through the Psalms, and today we're going to continue with this. And through many of the Psalms, they have been written by David. They're not all written by David, but many of them are. And so we find ourselves today looking at a psalm that David penned. And I think it's a psalm that probably will resonate with every single one of us to some extent. In 1035 B.C., 1035 B.C., everybody say 1035 B.C.
1035 B.C.
That would be 1035 years before Christ was born. We think that is about the year that David was born. And so David, he was in the lineage of Christ. There was a lot that took place in that man's life. Between the ages of 10 and 13, we believe it was during those ages that David was anointed by Samuel as the future king of Israel. At the age between 15, 16, and 17, somewhere in that age period, David killed Goliath. Did you know that he was 15 to 17 years old when he killed Goliath? Okay, you can write that one down. King Saul. After David killed Goliath, looked with suspicion on David from that day forward. Soon after this, Jonathan, the son of King Saul, became BFF with David. Because of David's reputation, he was appointed King Saul's armor bearer. At 25 years of age, David was banished from the king's court. Saul hopes that he will die in battle. At this point in David's life, he is being hunted by King Saul. King Saul hates David and cannot stand him because of the attention that he is getting and because of the little attention that he is getting. At 27 years of age, Saul offers his daughter Michal to David in marriage and hopes it will become a snare to David. In part, it does become a snare. When David turned 28, he fled to Nob and was helped by Ahimelech, the priest. David took the consecrated bread and the sword of Goliath. Soon after this, David fled for his life to the Philistine city of Gath. He feigned madness to protect himself and his men, and he was banished from the area. That's in Psalm 34. Following this, David hid in the cave of Adullam. Dane so eloquently preached about these happenings over the past several weeks, and every one of us have gleaned things from that. Today, David is about 30 years old in our story, and he writes a psalm, Psalm 56. And if you would take your Bibles right now and turn with me to Psalm 56, that is where we're going to look and we're going to gather some of our thoughts for this morning's message. So, David, at this particular point, when he writes the 56th Psalm, there's a lot of things that are going on within his mind and within his brain. He is alone. He is desperate. He is afraid. And he is not thinking clearly. How many of you have ever been in that position where that you're scared, you're afraid, you're being taunted by somebody, and you're not thinking clearly? Does that ever happen to any of you? It happens to me all the time that I don't think clearly when I have all of these things that are happening. So David pulls out the quill and the little jar of ink, and he begins to write these words. And he says in the first verse, "Oh God, Most High, oh God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes are attacking me all day long." Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says a little bit more of the same. He says, "My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are the boldly attacking me." When I look at this, that word hounding me, they're bullying me. They're bullying me. That's something that is so known in our schools today, that children from kindergarten all the way up through junior high and high school and into college are being bullied by other students. Friends, this should not be. And the bullying that takes place in David's life is something that is so disconcerting to him. And it is something that brings such consternation to his heart and to his soul. Twice we see the word hound. Twice we see the word attack in those two verses. Hounding and attacking. They're hounding me. They're attacking me. David was always in the sights of King Saul after he killed Goliath. And then when it wasn't bad enough for him to be in the sights of King Saul, he was always in the sights of the Philistines. They still wanted to get back at him. Verse 3. I like the way that David pens this. He says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." David did not deny the presence of fear. David was not afraid to say the four-letter word, fear. There are some people today that say, well, a Christian should never confess that they ever have any fear at all. Friends, I want to tell you something. Fear is an emotion. And it is something that if somebody comes up behind you and spooks you and scares you, I just woke two people up. If that happens, it's an instant fear. Now, I want to tell you something. As believers and believers in Jesus Christ, we do not have to live in a state of constant fear. And everybody said, because I believe that. But David says this, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, O Lord. And I love that because that's direction for us. That tells us what we can do. When I am afraid, when somebody starts hounding me, when somebody begins attacking me, David was being attacked physically. They were trying to get him, and he knew that. And then he was being attacked by his character. And you ask me, which is the worst? For somebody to attack me physically or for somebody to attack me and my character? And I'm going to tell you that you attack my character and you hit me where it hurts the most. Nobody wants to be attacked in their character. David was being attacked. He was being bullied in his character. All day long, they were attacking him. The 30-year-old who killed a lion, who killed a bear, who killed Goliath, did not deny the presence of fear. However, when David was afraid, he pens these words in verse 3. He says, I will put my trust in you. And when we learn to put our trust in God in those moments when we are fearful, God triumphs valiantly in our lives. Verse 4. I praise God for what he has promised. Don't you love it? I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? What can mere man do to me? Mere man cannot hurt me. What has God promised? God has promised, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What has God promised? God has given us this promise. I love this in Revelation. I don't have these words on the screen. I'll just read it. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, chapter 12, 10 and 11. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. I love that. Do you know? The accuser of the brothers. He comes against the brothers and the sisters. He comes against us every single day. And he is lying. He goes to Jesus and he says, have you seen what they're doing? And he lies and he says lies about us. He's the accuser. He's always accusing us. He's always putting us down. Satan, that is who and what he does. He puts people down constantly. I'm so glad to know that one day the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast out of heaven and sent to hell forever and ever and ever. And that ought to give every one of us something to shout about right there. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear. That is his declaration of faith. Verse 5, they are always twisting what I say. They're always twisting. You know what is interesting about David is that he kind of goes back and forth. A little victory here, and then a little defeat here, a little victory here, a little defeat. And he talks a little bit about the fear here, and then he talks about the deliverance here, and then he talks a little bit about it. They're always twisting what I say. Do you have people in your world? Do you have people in your life that take what you are saying and turn it into something that you didn't mean it to be. They're always taking what I say and they're twisting it. They're misconstruing what I'm saying is in this stuff. And they spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me. They watch my every step and they are eager to kill me. They twist my words. They are devious. They are distorted. They are evil. They lie in wait. They can't wait to kill me. Verse 7. You ever like stories how that the bad guy gets caught and the good guys win? And you ever like that kind of a story? I like those kinds of stories. David, in verse 7, I think he's kind of cut from that same cloth here. He says to God in his prayer, "Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, oh God, bring them down." Boy, he leaves nothing to the imagination there, does he? God, I want you to go get all of my people that are against, all the people that are against me, and Lord, in your anger, because you are on my side, in your anger, God, bring them down. David is pretty intense here. You can tell that he lived under the dispensation of the law, not under the dispensation of grace that we live in today. How many of you know that there are times that individuals are in our life and we would like to pray, oh God, in your anger, bring them down. But then we have, you know, Romans chapter 12, and this isn't up here, but I love the way that Paul articulates it. He says, "Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, I will avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter articulates the words this way. He says, "Do not return insult for insult." When Paul says, "Don't take revenge," what is it about human nature that there's something that is so sweet and there's something that is so savory? Don't mean to sound sick, but just in that old flesh, there's just something within us that says, I want to get my pound of flesh. I want to take care of those people that have spoken against me. I want to get them, Lord, let me do it. But God says, you know what? Let me take care of it. Because I will do it in a righteous way. I will do it in a holy way. Stand back, Michael. Stand back and let me take care of your adversaries. And there's such peace when we relinquish the anger. There is such wholesomeness when we release it and we say, God, you take care of them. You have much better ways of taking care of them than I do. There's been a time or two where that I've helped God out. And there's been a couple of times in my life where that I thought my wisdom might have just been a little bit better. And then I take care of it, and it's a huge mess. And nothing good comes out of my human wisdom. My human wisdom is puniness to God's infinite wisdom. Let God be God. Let God's vengeance come through God and His ways. Verse 8. You keep track of all my sorrows. So David's going through this tremendous turmoil inside. Not only physically is he on the run from the Philistines, not only is he on the run from Saul, but he has this mental thing that every day he just continues to play over and over their hounding words. Every day he plays that over and over, and then he's got it on loop, and it just keeps going on and on. And there's no settledness in his soul. And he begins to cry. But he doesn't cry. He doesn't cry like a little baby. He cries like a grown man. And I would suggest to you that a grown man will cry more deeply than a little baby. The tears from a grown man, the tears from a grown woman, are tears that reach the bottom of the soul. And he says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Oh, David was very much aware of the ancient tradition, even though he's 1,000 years before Christ, there's still time before that, of the Greeks and the Romans. And the Greeks and the Romans, they would take their tears, and they had little vials. And their little vials, some were made out of clay, some were formed out of an agate stone. And these little vials, they would hold up to their cheek, and when the tear would come, they would put the tear, the bottle, the little vial would catch the tears, and they would have the tears. And when they would go to the funeral of a loved one, they would take the little vial and they would set it there near the dead body. And it was a sign that our tears, our mourning, is with that individual who has passed away that means so much. You have collected, David said, and stored up my tears in a little bottle as a remembrance of what I am going through. In other words, when I'm going through a hurtful situation, God has his bottle to catch my tears and your tears. And he has a bottle for each one of us. And every time you cry yourself to sleep, or like Psalm 6, when the psalmist said, I have made my bed a bed of tears, and my bed has become like a pool. Jesus Christ, he takes notice of every single tear that you have cried and will cry. And they are special to him. We may wipe our eyes, but he never forgets the cause of the tears of what you are going through. And so David says, you have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. 9, my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know. I like this. This I know. Let's all say it together.
This I know.
God is on my side. Let's all say it together. This I know. God is on my side. Can you say amen to that? That we know this in spite of all that David went through, in spite of all of his running, in spite of all the inner turmoil, in spite of all the tears that he shed. This I know. God is on my side. And friends, I want you to know this today. In spite of all the inner turmoil that you faced, in spite of all of the fighting that is stirring within your soul, in spite of all of the tears that you cry, know this, that Jesus Christ is on your side. And because Jesus Christ is on your side, you and I win. God is with me. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That is the joy in part of the Christmas story that we celebrate every year. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 10, I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. David knew the value of worshiping God with his voice in the midst of trauma. This verse says right here, he says, I praise God. I praise God. I worship the Lord. I sing to the Lord. I praise God for what he has promised. What has God promised for you? God has promised to you the victory. And then he says this in verse 11. He said, I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? Don't you love that? What can mere mortals do to me? All of a sudden, you see how this thing is it's just changing right in front of our eyes. How that it is bad at the start, but at the end, it's changing for the better. I trust in God, so why shall I be afraid? What can mere man do to me? Verse 12, I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. Verse 13, this is our last verse. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. In your life-giving light, I am going to walk. He knows every tear that you cry. He understands everything you go through. The good news, whatever you and I go through, this I know, God is on my side. And with God, that's all I need. I don't need another army. I just need God. Would you stand with me? So today, if you are fearful about anything, today, if you are afraid, if you have been crying tears because of your circumstances, I know the one who counts your tears that you shed and puts them in a bottle. I close with this passage here out of Revelation chapter 2, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eye. Someday, hold on, be faithful to the end. Someday he is going to wipe away every single tear from our eyes. My eyes, your eyes, their eyes, God is going to wipe away every tear, the pain, the trauma, the death of a loved one. He's going to wipe away every single tear. So I just want to give these, while you're standing, real quick here, several points to ponder. Number one, every one of us experiences fear. Number two, in that moment,
we choose how we will respond. I encourage you to do like David did. Make the choice he made. Number three, tears are a language God understands. Number four, God is cognizant of your sorrow, pain, and fears. Number five, God, Emmanuel, is on my side. Number six, God has rescued me. David felt it. David experienced it. God came and rescued him. You know what is interesting about David? He's the only character in the entire Bible that we have his whole life story. We have his whole life story from the time he was youth all the way until he died. And then the writer in Acts, he says, and David served the Lord with his whole heart, and God took him, and he died. And it just kind of like, what a great eulogy. He served the Lord, and then he died. And when he died, he went to be with the Lord. It's our hope that we have, is that when we die, we will go and be with the Lord. And the tears that we have, he one day is going to wipe them clean. There is a song that means an awful lot to me. I love the name of the song. It's called "He Knows My Name." He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the sea. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name. This past week, I called up a dear friend of mine, Chris May. He used to, when Nan and I were in Greeley, Chris served as our youth pastor, our worship leader, and just a tremendous man of God. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, Chris," I said, "Sunday morning, got a message that I'm going to be preaching, and I'd love it if you would sing the song for New Life Fellowship." Chris May.
Track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your Bible. You have recorded each one in your book. You know, we're going through many things right now that can cause our hearts to melt with fear. It's so comforting to know that we are not forgotten, that the Lord knows us. He cares for each and every one of us, and he calls his sheep by name. Counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and he made the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name. Tomorrow may bring. I can't.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning if you find yourself in that position of having tears and things in your life that are causing you to cry, things that are causing you momentary fear? I want you to know that Jesus Christ is mindful of you today. And so I want to just offer a prayer. If you would all stand with me at this time, please. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Psalm 56 and for the way that it resonates with our hearts. We see so many emotions that David went through, and yet through each one of those emotions, he was able to say that I know that God is right there at my side. And I pray on behalf of our congregation this morning, those that are watching online, I pray, Jesus, that for each tear that is shed, I pray, Lord, that as you capture those tears in your bottles, I ask, Jesus, that you will certainly be mindful of each fear and of each fight, of each consternation that is out there that we are facing. And I just pray, Lord, that you will give to us empathy and that you will help us as we journey through it. And I give you thanks for this. Father, I thank you so much for New Life Fellowship. I pray that you will bless our entire congregation. Lord Jesus, that this is going to be a week of victory for every single one of us. And I pray that we would experience the joy and the peace of your Holy Spirit in ways we haven't. And by faith, I give you thanks for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
God bless every one of you as you go your way today.